Going on, guys.
Welcome back.
This is part two of some extra steps on how to decentralize yourself from essentially a phone number, if you can. Some other thoughts, maybe unconventional methods. And hopefully some maybe ideas that maybe people have thought about but don't know how to go about or haven't thought about, you know. I'm not the first person to probably think like this or obviously do this or whatever. But it's always good to refresh and hear other ideas, new ideas, old ideas, etc. You know, just a perspective. And the last time, episode, I touched on, you know, a few options on how to obtain an anonymous SIN, which I'm going to refresh. It's, you know, TLDR is generally Cash, Monero, Lightning. The few services that do offer, MySudo is relatively okay for normies. You got Hushed, you have Prepaid, and then you also have Stealth, which you can access and get through Tor, and I have personally used. Not an endorsement or anything, but using them was relatively easy. MySudo is still pretty good. It's better to give out that than your personal number. And definitely a little bit more privately friendly. You do have to get through the Play Store, but you know, there's workarounds for that. Now we're gonna get into like the unconventional method. If you go the extreme route with maybe just forfeiting over your SIM card. Oh, and there's Cloaked Wireless that's like a little bit more security centric, but that's something I haven't tried, and you have to take a lot of stuff with a grain of salt. But say you go the dark route, the super extreme route, and you forfeit a number. You don't get one, actually. You just remove it. You have a SIM card removed from your phone. You don't have a phone number, and you solely rely off of the internet. Say like you don't even do a data SIM or whatever, and you just kind of have a phone for certain conveniences. Maybe a backup flip phone that you just keep for, you know, your banking, unless you're crazy and you don't use banking. But I think there are definitely different methods you can do when it comes to communications. Now, there's a lot of really good decentralized apps that allow you to just have, as long as you have an internet access, and it's most of them are not super bandwidth heavy, so you can use them. You could kind of keep in touch with, you know, certain people through this way. If you can convince your family members to do it, and your friends, Signal doesn't use SMS, it uses data, so you can essentially get a burner one-time number to activate your Signal account, or Molly, or SimpleX, and just use public Wi-Fi. SimpleX used to be really bad when I first got it, and now it's definitely gotten better. And I think that those are the two best, like, end-to-end encrypted messaging apps that we have today. And then there's some other unconventional ways of communication as well. As crazy as it sounds, email is essentially decentralized. No one controls email. This is why you can email other providers. It doesn't matter. You can leave it. The privacy aspect of email is about as good as I'll get. There's Proton, there's Tutanota. And then obviously PGP encryption. You should generally do that. You should encrypt your messages and then send them. Using cubes, I use split PGP, which is a very big right direction step in managing your keys and like being a little bit more higher with the security side. And it's obviously email wasn't written for privacy in mind, but the best we have is maybe like Proton and Tutanota, or Tuta, I think they're called now, and then cock.il and Cockmail, and then there's RiseUp, and there's a few other providers, there's Starmail, etc. But you know, that's not really the point. The point is that you can email pretty much anyone. You can, I think this is like one way you could, I mean, you'd be sending yourself back, and maybe it wouldn't be as like normal, but as long as you have internet access, you can send emails. You can even read emails offline. You can have an offline way you can read your emails offline. You can actually, I believe, it's called WinTalk. If I am not mistaken, it's emails through radio. Yeah, I believe that's it. You have to have a ham radio's license, I believe. Yeah, send email over ham radio with WinLink. WinLink, it's WinLink. This is like kind of like a unconventional way of sending emails. Obviously, I don't think you can send pictures, but radio waves are the only real way to communicate when the grid goes down. Your voice communication is one thing, but what about text and emails? Until fast, reliable satellite internet becomes complainant, it's not really going to be anytime soon. WinLink is a service called SailDocs. It's intended for yacht owners, and they can send along news reports from routers and weather reports and other information. You can also send text messages over WinLink, but most carriers have an email to SMS gateway where you can send and receive over email. You can even send your own current position through the ARP system. With ARPS, instead of connecting to your personal device, the global internet brought to you infrastructure provided like AT&T. This is kind of like, WinLink's pretty old too. It's back since the 80s, and it replaces local ISP. Interesting. You have to your computer connects to your ham radio. The WinLink software converts data to ones and zeros to radio signals. It's kind of interesting. Obviously, there's drawbacks. And except for this, I don't know to anything beyond that. But I think you need I'm pretty sure you need a. You need like a global rate. You need a, what do you call it? A ham radio license. But this is something that does exist. It's called WinLink. It's global radio email, which is very cool. And as crazy it sounds, I mean, if you can get important information over email, and you can send a lot of information in email, that's with a radio. Like, that's pretty awesome. I hope that I can get it. I can try it one day. It'd be awesome. And it's, I mean, that could be life-changing to someone. That's another way to stay away from, you know, major telecom providers. Obviously, email is not private, but it's maybe a step more private. And if, like, there's no really linkable identify information to your email, obviously not your first and last name, and understand the limitations of securing your email's privacy is pretty difficult because email, again, wasn't written in general with privacy and security mainly privacy in mind in general. Obviously, email is a huge target, but that's one option. Another thing that I think people forget is if you have a computer at home and you spend most of your time at home and you have internet access and you're just using regular internet, you can use a console-based XMPP client. XMPP is pretty cool. It's a way you can chat through the terminal. It's a protocol. I think this is something that also people don't realize, that it's a universal messaging standard. And it's pretty much open standard. There's obviously drawbacks. Same thing with Element. And same thing with, the Matrix, protocol. But it's another option. You could send all your messages while you're on Wi-Fi. Maybe you're at a coffee shop and you want to send your messages and just kind of wait, and then boom, back online. I think my favorite is Mestastic. Mestastic is a decentralized off-grid network that runs on affordable low equipment. I'll put that equipment in the notes, show notes. Mestastic is pretty cool. So what it is you build or purchase this hardware. LilyGo is a huge provider for these devices. And then you do have to have a mobile phone with you. There is a workaround, kind of. And you set up next to the first one. It works off LoRa, which is pretty much like a long range. It's like a long range, non-licensed radio wave, I think would be the correct term. It's pretty much long range off-grid communication platforms without existing infrastructure, which is, that's pretty good. Technically no phone is required for mass communication. In perspective, you can, there's workarounds. It's just, it looks nicer. So you can also use your laptop, but say, and then they make some devices that have keyboards and built-in stuff, like built-in screens that where you can, you don't need it. You don't need a cell phone, but I'm just pointing out that it works well with a cell phone. I forget my longest, it's not super long, but I tested the range. It's pretty awesome, especially if you're into like a tight-knit community, and like you're really close with your neighbors and everyone and your friends, and you all live very, very close to each other. I mean, it works better, but there is ways that you can make it expand that. And the more that the bigger the more people have this device, the bigger the mesh network gets, and you can set up repeaters and relays. I think they got rid of the router function, if I'm not mistaken. But essentially, you set up one, you connect to it via Bluetooth, you set up another one, your friend sets up another one, connects it via Bluetooth, they communicate with each other, then say your other friend sets up another one, they communicate with you, and then, vice versa. Like, you start making your own mesh network. Essentially, it's pretty freaking awesome. I definitely think that these ranges are getting crazy, mountain to mountain, 331 kilometers, so I don't know how to do that in miles. Very long stuff percent. That's kind of awesome. And I think that it's cool to see people like really like push the limits and the boundaries and the space that they create. It's awesome. 103 miles, so 300 is, that's far. 205 miles right now is the highest, the longest delivery, which is awesome, and it's only going to get longer with better updates. It's a huge active developed community. They're very involved, lots of people. There is another project that I'm a little bit more in favor for because it's a lot more flexibility, but there is more hands-on work. That's just a personal take that we're going to talk about in a minute. This could be very well in the future be a good, I wouldn't call it the phone killer or a phone replacement. I think that's, people on the internet are making that claim, which is really stupid in my opinion. I don't think that it's going to be that, but I think it's going to be a huge, huge option for people that want to get away from the cell network. And in a sense, until we can figure out, like, until there's a self-hosted option in the future, a big problem is I wouldn't really call it a problem. A big portion of it is a lot of this radio wave space is bought up and owned by either companies or like the country or like the government, and they just want probably not the clashing. From my understanding, is like they don't want people to accidentally clash in these networks and cause an issue, especially with emergency services. This is why MeshTax is great, because it's using an unlicensed network that doesn't really have to worry about stuff like this. This is why I think 5 gigahertz, like the 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi band, like Wi-Fi is essentially free. It's due to the fact that it's the space in it doesn't conflict with anything, and it's kind of nice. That's more of like on the like the legality side of like, you know, what space is available, what isn't, etc. Which, you know, people can kind of figure out. I think you can also, as a consumer, there's certain spaces you can buy. Like, you can buy a license for certain spaces for private networks, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I don't know. I believe that there's a way you can do it. It's probably expensive, though. So I would probably not advise for it. Next is probably my next favorite is the General Mobile Radio Service, GMRS. It's $30. It's very cheap. Literally, you just pay like a $30, $35 fee, and then it's good for like 10 years. And your immediate family can use it. It's on the 462 megahertz and 467. It's for short distance, two-way voice communications using handheld radios, mobile radios, and repeaters. You can do repeaters, by the way. And it allows short data messaging applications, including text messages and GPS location information. I believe that got removed, or it's kind of wishy-washy. Not really up on that one. That is something to... it's good for, I think the license is 5 to 10 years, and I believe, it is 10 years. It used to be 5, now it's 10, which is awesome. That's a very long time. It's a very cheap, small investment. Then you go get some decent, like, GMRS radios, and you just use it. Your immediate family, I think, can start using it. They don't have to go. Only like one person in the household needs it, which is kind of cool. And I mean, like, that's just a cool way to combine your ability to communicate with people without a phone number. Is like, you have XMPP, you have Element. You have radio. Radio is obviously, it can't be encrypted. It's, I think, it can be encrypted, but the keys have to be known, and it has to be decryptable. I think that it's illegal to have fully encrypted communication over that. But this is where MeshTastic comes in. It's sending text, and because you're sending text, you can actually, it's end-to-end encrypted. Don't know how good it is. Wouldn't trust it with any sensitive information. I would just use Signal, that process, personally. But this is where it's even better, where you're like, wow, I can actually do this. And there's actually a lot of apps I don't use where that you require, or apps that don't require internet access, which is even better. Like, you know, you can download just before you leave your house. Like, I use AntennaPod for all my podcasting to listen to, and I use a few other apps where I download all my content, and then I leave my house I can turn off my internet, and everything will still be there. Now, I have a lot of storage space on my phone, so, and on my, like, network, like, local network, where I could, like, if the internet were to go out, that would suck, but I'd be fine. 99% of the time, because I download a lot of stuff that require like no internet access. That's on purpose to prevent if there's like an outage or maybe there's a position where certain stuff gets starting censored or like you can't have access to it. I just don't really want to like run into those kind of issues. And this is kind of this system that I've developed myself is kind of helped. There are tons and tons of apps out there that give you access to content that you don't need to have internet access to. You can even have your password manager like KeePassXD for your phone. All your passwords is offline, no access needed. So nowhere, and then the syncing, you can do that all locally with sync thing. You actually don't need to connect to the internet with it. Local send for other stuff that you don't want to use sync thing for, because sometimes sync thing can be kind of annoying and a little cumbersome from my experience. So sometimes local send is just really, really quick. All your movies you can just go buy and then rip them into digital format and just put them on your phone or your like stuff that where like you can just host it locally. You don't need the internet for it to exist. That's the goal. But back on topic, unsigned. .io. Unsigned.io is a great website. It's essentially a way that talks about the reticulum network. It's essentially you can also download the entire site for offline transportation. Oh yeah, there's also by the way, this is just a side note. PortableApps.com is very based. Very cool. Keep working personal and separate. PortableApps.com is super cool. It's a website where you can get a ton of apps, download them all to a flash drive, and everything can run from this flash drive. And some is like no internet needed. You can go through all of them. It's awesome. Lightweight sticky notes, a note portable. It's kind of cool. It's kind of interesting how much you realize you don't need you don't need internet access besides for very short periods of time. But back to unsigned network. Unsigned network is pretty cool. It explains Ethernet and IP packets over radio, TNC, IP over LoRa, R nodes, a wireless, like kind of like NIC, how to build and set up R node, which is essentially, this can use LoRa, but this can go beyond using LoRa. It can get pretty awesome. So pretty much with the firmware installed, you get the LoRa interface for the reticulum network. And then once you install it, you essentially set up like an R node. It's portable. It's a portable way. It's pretty easy to, I guess, explain what this is in a sense. This guy got 15 kilometers with LoRa. That's crazy. That's pretty awesome to do SSH. So The network is a cryptography-based network stack for building local and wide-area networks with readily available hardware. It can continue to operate even in adversary conditions with high latency and extremely low bandwidth. It is to allow anyone to operate their own sovereign communication networks and make it cheap and easy to cover vast areas with a Madrid of independence, interconnectable and autonomous networks. It is unstoppable networks of the people. It does not use source addresses. No packet transmissions include information about the address, the place, or the machine, or the person they originated from. There is no central control over the addresses. Space. Anyone can allocate as many addresses as they need. It ensures end-to-end connectivity. Newly generated addresses become globally reachable in the matter of seconds to minutes. Addresses are self-sovereign and portable. One address has been created, it can be moved physically to another place in a network and continue to be reachable. All communication is secured with strong modern encryption by default. All encryption keys are ephemeral and communicate offers forward secrecy by default, which is based. Obviously, this has not been, I don't know if they've done an audit. That would be a good question. I think they haven't, but it's okay. It doesn't always, if the encryption is open and it's already used, it doesn't necessarily matter. They're using, rolling their own encryption, that's different. But to know that if they're rolling it out properly would be good. All encryption, it is not possible to establish an unencrypted links in Requiem networks. It is not possible to send unencrypted packets to any destination in the network. Destinations receive unencrypted packets will be dropped and that is invalid. Which is based, so it forces the encryption, which is great. They have a really active Matrix channel, by the way, discussion forum on GitHub, and a subreddit. You pretty much install it. You can actually use QR codes to send messages. It's kind of cool. Like you can send a message with a QR, put on a QR code, they scan it, and then it decrypts it, and they can like read it. It's interesting stuff, and definitely a rabbit hole to go down to and talk to. You can talk to like the maintainers and the dev that started this. They're all really awesome people. One of the other things that I think that is super undervalued besides Meshtastic and all these other providers is obviously like public Wi-Fi is, you know, within a VPN if you trust it. Like, obviously you want to make sure that you're not going on, you know, bad public Wi-Fi. As long as the traffic is encrypted and you kind of be careful about like what you put on there, you should be fine. But public Wi-Fi, it's almost universally everywhere. This allows you to connect real quick. There is Briar. Briar is something you can do locally. Like if it's in your house, you can set it up and do all local messaging where you don't touch the internet, which might be a good thing. There's just so many different options out there. And unless you get into like the banking and like the 2FA and like you need a phone number, which again you might have a workaround where you can just buy with an anonymous SIM, you definitely have options out there that help you not only escape the dependency on phone numbers. Is not anytime soon, but we are moving towards pass keys and passwordless authentication, and hopefully get away from SMS 2FA. We could do that, it would be another nail in the coffin for the non-need of a cell provider. I mean, if you can relatively live off Wi-Fi and you have Wi-Fi at home and you use that as your primary means of communication, you are reducing essentially attack surface than anything. You're not constantly being monitored and being tracked. In general, where you're always connecting, you know, to the internet. This is something that I think people should be aware of to a degree and realize that there is a lot of your metadata and your data that it's being pretty much sold off. That should be your main concern, not that like you're being spied on or anything. Like by the NSA is just waiting for you to fuck up. I think there's a difference between being like rationally paranoid and like not in favor of your data being sold, than irrationally paranoid and just hyperbolic about stuff that you read on the internet. And it's like a very extreme edge case, and the person was doing terrible things, so it doesn't even matter. I definitely think that people should start exploring like really good alternatives. Satellite is very expensive still, so that's probably not like a good one. And I don't know enough about satellite to see if it's really a more secure option, but in terms of like you sending stuff, that you have a plethora of different steps you can take to send like the needed messages and everything to the people that matter. You know, it's just, you know, it's all coming from a place of like, do these people matter, and how can I make it work? So I don't know. I think that's it. Like Meshtastic, protocols that don't rely on heavy bandwidth, Signal, SimpleX, public Wi-Fi. I think that's all you really need. You can be reached in a many, many, many plethora of ways that are not as where you need to be, like, you know, tracked all the time. It's kind of nice. And it allows you, when you're not connected to the internet, to really experience, I guess, like, more of, like, stuff that's happening now than, you know, just sitting there and doom scrolling while you're at the park. But I'm pretty sure that's everything. You guys have a wonderful night, and I'll see you the next one.